Okay. Genesis 47 is our text tonight, but I want you to turn first to Titus chapter 3. The book of Titus, chapter 3. I'll read a verse there by way of introduction. Now, we've been studying together the life of Joseph. I believe we've clearly seen what a marvelous type of Christ Joseph is. And I hope everything I say concerning Joseph, I hope you will translate it as I say it. Think about it in reference to Christ, because they are they which testify of me, Christ said. I can't say that enough. And these things happened. These things are written for our learning. Learn what? Jewish history? His story. To learn of Him. To know Him. That we might know Him. Study Him. Joseph's brethren were now, I believe, broken men. These brethren of Joseph, I believe, were now humbled before their brother Joseph. They now realized, if you remember the start of this story, Joseph came to them with a dream and said, I dream that you all would bow down before me. And they hated him and despised him for that. And now they realize everything Joseph said is true. Everything he said is true. He's now Lord. He's our Lord. He's reigning and ruling over us. It's true. And God, amazingly, we see now the hand of God in spite of our own evil intentions. Even using our sin and our wickedness, we see how that God even used that to set Joseph up to save us. And they were amazed. And it's the same, we come to the same realization, many of us, if not most. Some of us have been brought to see the truth of God's amazing, sovereign providence and grace to us through Christ Jesus. Now look at how this scripture applies to what I just said. Titus 3, verse 3, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. You can take each one of these adjectives and apply it to yourself, couldn't you? At a time before you knew Christ, you were a fool. Steve, you were an absolute fool, a young fool. If God had left you alone, you'd have destroyed yourself, headed headlong into the pit the rest of your friends have fallen into. Foolish, disobedient, what's that? To God. He said in Isaiah 1, I've nourished a children, and they've rebelled against me. God's not in their thoughts. Disobedient. Deceived about a lot of things. Serving different lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. I described these brothers, didn't I? They envied. Remember, it said they were envious of Joseph. They hated him, despised him, couldn't say anything good about him. Remember that? Verse 4. But now, but God, but after, that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. They could say that about Joseph, couldn't they? Looking in their elder brother or their brother's faith, after the kindness of Joseph, our brother. The kindness of God through Joseph, our brother, appeared unto us. Oh, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed, all of this He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the title of this message is Joseph, Lord and Savior. They've seen Him as Lord. Now they're going to see Him as their Savior. The Savior. All right, back to Genesis 47. Joseph is Lord over all, and he's wisely, discreetly, and compassionately ruling over the land of Egypt as Pharaoh made him so. You remember what Pharaoh said when he was looking for a man to take care of the kingdom? He said, where can we find a man in whom is wisdom and discretion? A man wise and discreet as this. Joseph will do. And Christ was made Lord before the foundation of the world by God the Father, reigning and ruling over all of God's work. All right, now, down to verse 11. It says, Joseph placed his father and his brethren, gave them a possession in the land of Egypt. Joseph placed his brethren. Joseph placed his brethren. Wherever you are, whatever you are, is where Jesus Christ put you, is what Jesus Christ gave you. According to the measure of grace, the Scripture says, that He giveth to each man. You are where the Lord put you. You are what the Lord made you. And no exceptions to that rule, because He rules. He reigns. And we're going to come to know, like Nebuchadnezzar, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever He will, or withholdeth it from whomsoever He will. The Most High ruleth. You remember that over in Daniel? It said He's going to come to, till he know, said that three times. Then in chapter 4 it says He finally came to know. He knew. And that's salvation. We're going to know the one who reigns and rules. Our Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord. And although we make decisions, and we seem to get ourselves into certain situations, yet, and I can't explain this, but it's so. Proverbs 16:33 says it. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. I like that. I'm glad it's that way. Aren't you, Barbara? The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Man does not have, I don't care what preachers are saying, you won't find it in the Scriptures, that man has a free will. Man is dead by nature, dead in trespasses and sin. A dead man can't do anything but lie there. Isn't that right? He's dead in trespasses and sin. Our Lord said, "You will not come unto me." And then He said, "Now that's man's rebellion. You will not." And then He said, "No man can come unto me, except the Father which has sent me and draw him." That's His inability. Man can only, his will will only do, or he can only do what his will will let him. And what is that? Sin. Didn't he say, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can a black man will himself to be white? Or vice versa? Can the leopard change his spots? Can he will himself to be a tiger with stripes? No. Neither can you do good which are accustomed to doing evil, he said. That's what he said, didn't it? Who does good? There's none that doeth good. I kind of admonished my daughter. I did Brandon when he came in here today. I said, how you doing, Brandon? He said, good. I said, well, you're the first ever then. Because there's none that doeth good. Now, that's just, everybody say that. My own daughter says that. I had to tell her, don't say that. The Lord's doing good by you. Say that. The Lord's doing good by me. How are you doing? Feel fine. How are you doing? Good? No. No. Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. The lot is cast in the lap, but the whole disposing that man does not have a free will. God must make us willing, Psalm 110, verse 3, in the day of his power. Adam was the only man that ever lived that had a free will. Adam. Right? Adam, the only man. God gave him a choice. Didn't he? What Adam choose? Now, he was the finest man to ever live, too, with the exception of our Lord. Finest man, the most brilliant man, the wisest man to ever live. Solomon wouldn't have held a candle to him. The greatest man to ever live, Adam, named brilliant, genius. Never be another like him. Except second Adam, maybe. I'm excluding him. What did Adam choose? His free will, what did he choose? He rebelled against God. And in Adam, all died. In other words, we lost that free will in Adam. Now, the second Adam must make us willing in the day of his power. The lot is cast, and that's, well, I'm not even, that really doesn't have anything to do with the subject. But I had to say that. I had to say that. Joseph placed his brethren. It does have something to do with it. Joseph placed his brethren. Why? We know not what things we should ask for. We don't know what's best for us. And when we ask amiss, consumed of our own lusts. Like little children asking for things that aren't good for them. So Joseph, in his wisdom and his discretion, he placed his brethren. He put them. He hath chosen our inheritance for us, Terry. That's what the scripture said. What would you have? Well, I'll take that. That's not good for you. That's not good for you. I'll tell you what, I'll choose it for you. That's what he said. I'll choose it for you. Now, all things work together for good. Listen to this. Psalm 16. It'll help you remember these two scriptures. Psalm 16, Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16:33 says, "The lot is cast in the lap, the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." Psalm 16, said at verse 5 and 6, says, "The lines that fall in unto me in pleasant places, thou maintainest my lot." Thou maintainest my lot. Lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. Joseph chose my place for me. The sooner we learn that, the better we'll, more content we'll be, and the better off we'll be. And not look for greener pasture. Now, wherever and whatever we have or whatever we are, great mercy and grace has come from God the Father through Christ. Everyone in here can say this. Everyone, like I said a moment ago, we have infinite reasons to be here tonight. Oh, Psalm 107, it says it so many times. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. What are we doing tonight? What's this all about? Why are we here tonight? To praise the Lord for his goodness. You have any reason to praise the Lord, Jeanette? Got a good reason to be here? How many? If I should number them, David said, they're more than I can number. Everybody in here can say this. Each man and woman can say this. Young person can say this. Right? The Lord has done wonderful things for me, whereof I'm glad. We're not starving. It's obvious. It's very obvious, some of it. We're not starving. There are people, there are actually people on this planet, they're actually starving. I mean, there are. Who maketh thee to differ? 1 Corinthians 4:7. Who? It's just Joseph. It's our Lord Jesus Christ who placed his brethren. I don't need to go any further tonight, do I? This is a good text. It's going to get through it. I might not. We're not starving. And that goes back to talking about famine of bread. famine of the gospel. Every member of this church ought to be here every service. We really ought to. Not by out of duty or habit or constraint, but willingly. Huh? You're not starving. If we are starving, it's our own fault. Come, all things are ready. Come eat well. High on the hog. Fat Mac, that's high on the hog. Not, that's bacon, isn't it? We're not naked. There are people running around without the bare necessities. We're not naked. Spiritually, we're not naked. We've been clothed on. Joseph has given us a change of raiment. And then, we're not naked. We're not alone. If we are, it's our own fault. We got lots of brothers and sisters we could easily call on, invite over, and have a little companionship. If we're alone, it's our own fault. We're not homeless. We're not homeless. Every one of us, we have a home to live in. But more than that, we have a habitation of God. We're not homeless. We have a home. In Christ, we have a building not made with hands. No, a habitation for the Spirit. A dwelling place prepared by Him. Ah, the Lord hath chosen our inheritance for us. Joseph placed his brethren. Well, let's go on. I hate to. But he placed them in the best of the land, the Scripture said. As Pharaoh had commanded. The land of Ramses. What's that? It's king. Land of kings. And he hath made us kings and priests on our people. I'm telling you, we live better than kings did years ago. We really do. But he hath made us, spiritually speaking, kings and priests unto our God. Royal. Members of the royal family. Members of the royal family. A royal chosen generation, a royal priesthood. The best of the land, land of Ramses, Pharaoh had commanded, as God. Pharaoh represents God here. As God commanded. Those are my children whom I love. Joseph, give them the best. Give them the best. I tell you what, we'll make them joint heirs with you. We'll give them everything you have. Because they're your brethren. And Joseph, verse 12, nourished his father and his brethren. Nourished them. Oh my, how Christ nourishes us. As Paul said in one place, nourish as a nurse does cherish her children. And here it says, according to their families. Does your margarine, does your margarine? Yeah, we get that too. Butter and honey. Not margarine, butter. Does your margarine say, as a little child is nourished? To say that, according to their family, as a little child, according to the little ones. He nourishes us like little children. That little child hand feeds us. And we ought to be grown up men, and he still feeds us like babies. Right? Oh, little children, how long must I bear with you? How long are you going to remain babies? That's all right. Here you go. That's a good thought, isn't it? Verse 13. All right, let's read on. Now, there was no bread in all the land. No bread. Except with Joseph. Joseph had it. But there's no bread in the land. For the famine was very sore. So that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. All of the land. Everyone. Now this is a picture of fallen man. Picture of fallen mankind. Once healthy. And I think about Adam. I just mentioned Adam a while ago. God made man. And I talked about Adam choosing. But you know, even the Lord is the one that directed that. Even the Lord directed the fall. Right? Permitted it, whatever you want to, however you want to say it. He did it. To show His glory. To save much people. To bring in an everlasting, here's the key, to bring in an everlasting righteousness. And I could dwell on that. Adam had a righteousness all his own. He couldn't have passed it down to his family. They'd have had their own, had to have their own righteousness. Each one of them. And each one of them could have stood or fallen individually. But our righteousness is in another Adam, second Adam. Well, that's another story. All right? But here's a picture. Adam was created in the image of God, the Scripture says. In the image of God created he male and female. Adam was the most brilliant, beautiful, glorious creature on all the planet Earth. A man the other day said, yes, he's laying the carpet down here. He said, I have a question I want to ask you. You're a pastor here, aren't you? He said, I have a question I want to ask you. And then here we go again. Where did Cain get his wife? He said, was there an inferior race on earth at that time? He married from... God didn't create anything inferior. God can't. Right? Inferior. God said, He created all things. He said, looked at all things. He said, it was very good. Very good. Perfect. Adam, you want to answer that question? Cain married his sister. End of the question. Well, at any rate, Adam, beautiful, glorious, marvelous creature that he was, when he sinned against God, God said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall die. Dying, you shall die. You shall surely die. Adam, die? He didn't know the meaning. Well, he did shortly thereafter. He became a sinner. God said the exceeding sinfulness of sin. He immediately began to hate his wife. The woman you gave me. Got mad at God. You hadn't, it's her fault if you hadn't tried to hide, scared, fear, naked. Who told you were naked, Adam? Shame, guilt, all these things began creeping in. And it wasn't shortly thereafter the calluses came out, or the blisters started popping out on his hands, and the thorns, and he became from a beautiful, glorious, upright creature to a fallen, haggard, what we are by nature. Spiritually speaking, from a robust, cheerful, God-loving, to a envy, hateful, malice, spite, jealousy, anger. His son just rose up and just killed his brother. He got that from his old man. From the old man. I went in the nursing home not too long ago. You remember God came in the garden, came walking in the garden. He said, Adam, where are you? He wasn't asking. He knew where. God sees all. He knew where he was, hiding behind that bush or whatever, fig leaves. How ignorant could a man be? How ignorant could he become? Fig leaf. That's a picture of man trying to be righteous for the all-seeing, holy eye of God that sees the heart. He sows him a little fig leaf righteousness. How ignorant could a man be? A fallen man is plumb foolish and ignorant without understanding. Adam was that Adam. And what God was saying when he asked him that, Adam, where are you now? He You know, I think about when our Lord wept at Lazarus' tomb. Maybe all of that sin, everything what had marred God's glorious creation, maybe that's what part of what he was weeping about. Look at man now. You know, this book we're going to see shortly, this book begins, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth." The last words in this book are, "A coffin in Egypt." A coffin in Egypt. Joseph. Adam, just where are you now? Went in the nursing home. Walked in. And here's man. There's a man sitting there in a wheelchair. He had some growth, some fatty tumor or something on the side of his face, protruding. Slobbering. Literally slobbering from his mouth. Adam, man, where are you now? Is this upright man? Is this man now? Second Adam. Here he comes. The Lord from glory. Look at him now. Look at him now. Well, this is a picture of man dead in trespasses and sins here. No, because there's famine in the land. A spiritual picture of man, famine in the land, no bread, Lodibar, Mephibosheth, lame on both legs. This is him. And you know, this is also a picture of the state we get into at times, I believe. It says that all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And as I said, we don't have to faint. There's plenty of bread. If we do faint, it's for lack of loathing this light bread, isn't it, children of Israel? And David said this, "I had fainted lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Verse 14. Joseph, and let's get through this. Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt, the land of Canaan, the corn which they bought. Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. Joseph gathered all the money. Now, where did the money come from? Turn over to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Where did this money come from that Joseph got? Say, the people gave it to him. Where did they get it? Joseph gave it to them. Back when he was buying up corn to fill the granaries. Yeah, he gave it to them. Look at Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, verse 17. And the Lord said, verse 16, "Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at the latter end?" And thou say, he said, he's warning them, beware if you don't say in your own heart, "My power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. You see? Where'd they get this money? You see, they didn't pay anything, really. They weren't giving Joseph anything. He'd already given it to them. Do we give the Lord anything? Well, I got to give the Lord 10% of people. If we gave the Lord what it's due, it'd be all. We'd give it all. 100% the Lord. We're renters. Right? Sharecroppers. That's all we are. Lord gave. He's the one. The Lord gave. All the gold and silver and all the mines, he says, mine. I put it there. You mined it. You got it. The job you've got. So that's what I'm talking about. Joseph placed his brethren. You got a good job. You earn good money. Your Lord put you there. He gave you the power to get that wealth. And we return a pittance. Oh, my. They soon found, though, that money wouldn't do them any good. There's one thing they really needed, corn. And Joseph had it. All the money they could muster, all the money that they could come up with.
Charles was not going to feed their bodies. They needed corn, right?
Look at verse 15. When the money failed in the land of Egypt, the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, we need bread. That's what we need, bread. Give us bread. Scripture says, trust not in the uncertainty of riches, the deceitfulness of riches. Money won't buy happiness. It will not. Nor will it give you life. Nor will it save your life in the end. We're not redeemed, the Scripture says, with corruptible things, such as silver and gold. We're not. There's only one thing that will satisfy us. Christ the bread. The bread. And we're going to have to be brought to that point where all things, everything fails us. And do we see that one thing needful? Christ. Give me Christ or else I die. One thing needful. Bread. Money won't do it. I need bread. Read on. Joseph said, give your cattle. I'll give you for your cattle if money fails. Give me your cattle. Verse 17, they brought their cattle unto Joseph. Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, flocks, and cattle of the herd, asses, and he fed them bread for all their year when that year was ended. Their cattle was gone. Money failed. Now, notice there, verse 17, who it was that was doing all this. It said, Joseph gave them. Joseph fed them. Joseph did this. And silver and the blood of bulls and goats won't save us. Cattle won't save us. See, this is a spiritual picture. Man is fallen. Corruptible thing, money and gold, your own vain lies, your own righteousness, your own whatever you think is worth God noticing. Pay God a little pittance for salvation. He won't accept. It's not high enough. Blood's the price. And blood of bulls and goats won't save, he said. What will save? It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not concerned. Salvation is of the Lord. Sovereign mercy. It's mercy and grace from God because of Christ's blood. That's what saves us. See, Joseph was one that was... It wasn't their money that was purchasing this bread. It wasn't their cattle that was purchasing this bread. It was Joseph that was giving it. If they didn't have any money... And they didn't have any bread. And you're going to see, they got to that point. Joseph still gave them bread. He's bringing them to the point where they see that these things, there's one thing needful. Bread. Bread. Listen to the song. Tears unavailing. No merit had I. Mercy had saved me. Or else... I must die. Sin had alarmed me. I'm dying. I'm fainting. Fearing God's face, but now I'm a sinner, a beggar, saved by grace. Just saved by grace. So, now, Joseph had all the cattle, had all the money. Scripture says, cattle on a thousand hills of the Lord. He had all the money. Christ has redemption's price. All the cattle, he has that blood sacrifice we need. The Lamb of God. Joseph had all the cattle, had all the money. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Verse 18. When that year was ended, they came unto him. And most of the writers feel like this is the last year of the famine, the seventh year. It says that year was ended. It means the year after that previous one. This was the last year of the famine. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, or the next year, we won't hide it from my Lord. Our money's spent. Our herds are gone. What's left? Us. By us. See that?
by us, our bodies in our land. There's nothing left in the sight of my lawn. In my hand, no price I bring. We need corn. What do you take, Lord? My son, give me my heart. See that? You remember the illustration of the old Indian chief that the Lord taught the gospel to? As a missionary back in the pioneer days, preached the gospel to some reservation or some tribe, Indian tribe. And the old chief heard the gospel and the Lord saved him. He was so grateful. So grateful. He came to the missionary in the missionary's tent one day. He came in and had in his hands his bow and arrow. And that was a warrior. That was his chief means of providing for his family and protecting himself and all that. And he was going to give that. He said, me give my bow and arrow to the Lord. Missionary said, Lord doesn't want your bow and arrow. Chief, you want my bow and arrow? No. So he went there. Came back the next day. He had his moccasins on. He'd killed the deer and tanned the hide and all his works, you know, the works of his own hands. He had made these and he was so proud of them, these moccasins. Let me give my moccasins to the Lord. Missionary said, Lord doesn't want your moccasins, chief. So he went and came back the next day and had his big headdress with all those feathers in it, eagle's feathers. All he earned, all he had done, the symbol of all his pride and his glory and his honor and his station in life. Me give my headdress to the Lord. Missionary said, gee, God doesn't want your headdress. He walked out, came back the next day, nothing in his hand. He said, me give myself to the Lord. Missionary said, no, he'll take that. He'll take that. He's not getting much, is he? Matter of fact, the Lord made everything out of nothing, and he won't make it out of you until you're a nothing. And he won't save anybody until they come empty-handed. Don't bring your works, your bow and arrow. Don't bring your moccasins. Don't bring your headdress, your pride, your glory, your righteousness. Come empty-handed. By me. Save me. Have mercy on me, O Lord. And there he said, buy our lands. Buy our lands. And that means everything we have. Our Lord said, except a man forsake all that he hath. That's what it means. You remember the illustration of the pearl buyer, don't you? Wish time would allow it. I'd tell you that one again. Remember the fellow that bought the pearl? The fellow said it cost you everything you have. He said, I got to have it. But after he bought it all and gave everything he had for that pearl, the man gave it back to him. Remember that? He gave it all back to him. He said, now, it doesn't belong to you. It's mine. I'm loaning it to you. And you'll use what's mine for my glory and my honor and for the use of my people, won't you? Yeah. That's the land. And he gave us seed here, too. He gave us seed. Verse 19. Wherefore should we die before thine eyes, both we and our land, by us and our land, everything about us, Lord, save us, that we may live and not die. Give us seed. Give us seed. Give us a seed that loves Christ. Let us see our seed and be satisfied. Lord, you see thy seed. But give us gospel seed. Sow this seed here that the crop will grow up for the next generation, right? Your son's going to need this seed. He's going to sit right there where you're sitting and hear the same gospel you heard, right? You want that, don't you? Give us seed here. Don't let us go to seed, but give us seed, the gospel. That's like you said. It's like the Great Commission, our Lord said, go in all the world. All right, here's seed. Sower went forth to sow. Here's seed. I give you seed that the land be not desolate. And that's what we are. Salt of the earth. God's seed. Salt of the earth. Go into all the land. Spread the gospel. Verse 20. Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. Why'd Christ do what he did? For God's glory. For the glory of God. The Egyptians sold every man his field because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh. And let me read this to you. Romans 14:9, one of my favorite verses. It says this, to this end, Christ both died and was buried and died and rose and revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Let me read the previous verse. None of us liveth to himself. No man dieth to himself. Whether we live, whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord. In that sense, every man and woman, everything belongs to him to do with as he pleases. So what should we say? Oh, Lord, make me a vessel of mercy, not a vessel of wrath fit for destruction. Make me a vessel of mercy. Buy me and my land for Pharaoh. Oh, Lord Christ, buy me, redeem me and all that I have for God's glory. For God's glory. In verse 23, Joseph said, now behold, I bought you. You're not your own. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Now render unto the Lord what belongs to the Lord. What's that? Everything you are. Right? Whatever I say is fair, isn't it? You're going to die without. Unless I bought you, you'd die, wouldn't you? Yes, yes, yes. Nothing's too great. All right. I bought you. Here's seed for you. So sow the land. It shall come to pass, verse 24, an increase that you shall give. The fifth part unto Pharaoh. And they went back to a time of plenty. And write this down, Deuteronomy 8. You go back there and read that for yourself sometime this week. Those verses in Deuteronomy where the Lord warns them, saying, now, wait a minute. He said, now, when you enter into the promised land and the corn and the wine increase and all these things, the land of plenty, beware that you don't forget the Lord. Read that this week, Deuteronomy 8, where he said, Joseph said, I bought you now for Pharaoh, and it come to pass in the increase, give the fifth part, 20%, not 10, 20. Wow, that's too much. Too much. Too much. That's not what they said, verse 25. They say, you saved our lives. And we found grace in the sight of my Lord. Oh, we'll be Pharaoh's. Nothing's too much to have. You've saved our lives. We'll be Pharaoh's servant. That's not too much. Let me read this in closing, all right? I promise. I closed my notebook, okay? 2 Samuel. Turn over to 2 Samuel. Chapter 19. Y'all remember the story of Mephibosheth, don't you? Well, Mephibosheth, you remember how that David was banished from Jerusalem for a while, and then Saul was killed, and David was brought back. Remember? David was brought back. At first, now, David spared Mephibosheth and set him at his table, okay? When David came, set Mephibosheth at his table. Well, when Saul began to pursue David, David fled. Mephibosheth's lame. He couldn't flee. And what it was this servant of Mephibosheth. Ziba was his name. You remember that, don't you? Ziba tricked Mephibosheth. Ziba didn't love David. He was an enemy of David. He pretended to, and he tricked Mephibosheth. And at any rate, Mephibosheth had to stay there when David was banished. And now Saul was dead, and David was coming back to the throne, coming back to Jerusalem. And he wondered where old Mephibosheth had been, why he didn't come with him, what happened. All right, let's read it here. Verse 24, Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. In other words, he was in sackcloth, mourning. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, why don't you go with me, Mephibosheth? Where you be? And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. But thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he, talking about this Ziba, has slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God, have all that wisdom. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. He says, me, all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? I don't have any right to ask for any more mercy. As merciful as you've been up to me. Now listen. You wonder where Solomon got his wisdom? He heard his daddy say this. The king said unto Saul, he was testing old Mephibosheth here. He said, well, let's not talk any more about it. He said, you and Ziba, I decided, you and Ziba divide the land. You remember Solomon? Cut the baby in half. Well, split it. Well, Mephibosheth said, here's what Mephibosheth said. Here's the answer of a man who has one thing have I desired. One thing needful. Look at verse 30. Mephibosheth said unto the king, let him take it all. My Lord has come again to his own mouth. It's you I want, King David. Let him have it all. Now, you reckon David knew who was his trusted servant? Well, our Lord, a man wise and discreet, placed us, didn't he? Placed his brethren. The lion's fallen unto me in pleasant places. Oh, my. Money won't say, silver and gold have I none. Blood of bulls and goats won't say, only the precious blood of the Lamb, without spot and without blemish. My Joseph, and all that I have and all that I am belongs unto him. He's worthy. He's worthy. All right, let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this glorious book and the contents of it. It all speaks so clearly of your Son. Thank you most of all for him who washed us from our sins in his own blood and redeemed us unto God, a people for God's glory. Thank you, Lord. Now, we ask that we can say this from the heart, we believe, Lord, take us, buy us, purchase us, all that we have and all that we are, use it for thy glory and for thy honor, for thy great name's sake, for yet thou art worthy. In Christ's name we pray and met together. Amen. You're dismissed.